I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Okay. Oh, I hope we didn't have anything to accomplish during that song because we just sat and chatted and talked and laughed. The end.
Good times.
I know. Hey, Sketchfest is starting today.
Yes.
It's a big deal. The 10th through the 27th of January. Audible presents SF Sketchfest. This is the largest comedy festival in the country. There is something for everyone. If you like to laugh, and most people do, there's going to be something for you. There are over 250 shows in all types of comedy at all kinds of venues. It's hard to keep track of everything that's going on, actually, with Sketchfest. But if you go to sfsketchfest.com, you can get tickets. And you can see the rundown of all these zillion shows that they have available. So there's a lot of different kinds of things going on. Right now, we have tickets for Margaret Cho in conversation with Ben Fong Torres tonight at the Marines Memorial Theater. So we'll take call number 9 right now, 800-400-3697. And we'll throw you some tickets for SF Sketchfest, a special event that's happening this evening. Did you have some Margaret Cho ready to go or just some other random Margaret that you wanted to?
I didn't. I'm going to pull some random Margaret for
it's
you.
It's all right. Just fine.
A texter has written in. They got the name of the bars that I am eating right now. They're called Go Macro.
Go Macro.
And I get the protein ones, but they're gluten-free. They're...
Yeah, I'm going to try. I just want to find something good that I can eat in the morning that... You know, wah.
This is what the package looks like.
Oh, they're neat. Flavors. They're very pretty. They're like a paisley piece of fruit.
Got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. And you get them where? Like at Whole Foods?
I get the, this is the one. These protein ones, the peanut butter.
A peanut butter chocolate chip sounds delicious.
Yeah. You can get them at Whole Foods or Sports Basement. And this is not a commercial. That's just what I'm.
Shame. Nice. No, tell them what you like. Right, I like that. Yeah, because I just, you know, I get so cranky. I get so hangry.
I just want to eat something real quick.
Yeah, just give me something just to
munch. And not
fast.
A candy bar.
Right. Yeah. I know. Because I will. I'll just eat candy. I'll eat whatever crap is hanging around the office.
And then you feel sick.
And then I'm afraid. And then I'm like, ugh, why eat that? Mm-hmm. Well, you were freaking starving to death. So I want to talk a little bit about Jeff Bezos. He is the king of Amazon. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure king is his title. You know, he's an interesting guy, and Amazon has certainly, it was a baby company when we started here. You know, it was a bookstore, an online bookseller. You remember those first ads that we were hearing for Amazon?
Uh-huh.
And it's since just become where I go to get anything I need.
Well, Amazon, he clearly had, somewhere in his head, he knew he was not just going to do books.
Right. Well, I guess that when he married this woman, Mackenzie... who he's now going to divorce. They were, you know, kids. It was 25 years ago, and he was not a millionaire at the time. You know, it was a few years later that he made his first million, and of course now he's the richest man in the world, $137 billion or so.
Do you have the stat about what she will become?
Yeah, she'll be the richest woman in the world by far.
When she gets half his money.
Yeah.
She'll be fifth on the list of richest people on the planet.
Right. So he'll go from first to fifth, I guess. He'll be tied with his ex-wife for fifth place. But she'll be richer than Mark Zuckerberg. Mm-hmm. She'll be the richest woman by a long shot. So the other thing is they say it's going to be super complicated to split all this stuff up because, you know, most of his wealth is Amazon stock. So I don't know that she's going to get a lump sum payment of $67 billion. But they also have, they are one of the top landowners in America, maybe in the world. I don't know. They own something like 400,000 acres. I don't think they're all together, but they've got a ton of real estate, a ton of property.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I can't think of one reason. Buy the earth. They're not making New Earth.
I'm fascinated with places like Wyoming and Montana, where there's just a lot less humans.
Yeah.
Where you could go and
fewer.
I mean, you'd still need access to grocery and all that, but at least if you could put something where you're just...
Well, Amazon has that figured out because they're going to drone stuff to you. Don't worry. You can be in the middle of nowhere, Montana, and I'm sure Amazon can deliver to you.
Or helicopter that in.
I know.
Like Ted Turner.
The thing about the drones, remember a year or so ago we were hearing about this every day that Amazon was about to launch drones to deliver packages and
it was something that he was doing a story on 60 Minutes was doing a story on Bezos, and then he unveiled this weird I'm gonna be doing this, and it was like sort of a surprise announcement. His plan was to deliver via drone,
which we can think of a million reasons.
And it sounded
reasons.
Ridiculous,
right?
It really...
Well, it was the first we'd really heard of drones being used in that way.
Right. So it sounded stupid. Like, I went, oh, okay, so you're dumb. Like, after all that the wealth that you've accumulated,
what do you think now?
I still think it's dumb.
Yeah.
I don't want a bunch of flying stuff delivering.
It just seems like there are so many...
My Tide.
...inherent problems with things being delivered by drone. Whether you like it or not.
It looks like he did some interview in 2013. I don't know if that was the...
Is this the one we're
talking... 60 Minutes. Wait. 2013. He predicted by 2018, Amazon would be delivering packages to people's doorsteps by drone.
Hmm.
And it says here, even Amazon can't overcome the many regulatory hurdles required to operate a delivery system to this degree.
And you know, I could see them arguing, if we get all these delivery cars off the road... that, you know, a lot of people's quality of life will be better because they won't be stuck in traffic so often. Except that now we'll have these sort of gnats everywhere you look in the air.
You'll probably be able to hear them, too. I mean, it just feels like weather would be a deterrent. Power lines, trees, human beings being, you know, can you just imagine some 16-year-old with his BB gun just waiting for drones?
So, I don't, you know, I'm sure that someone who... Right. Knows what it will really look like is listening to us going, oh, you guys are clueless.
They're also saying that while it's a neat idea, it also brought about a number of serious concerns, mainly being privacy and sheer logistical complications.
Right. I like some of the stuff that they were coming up with. There was a car show or something where I want to say it was Volvo. They didn't even have a car there. They were just talking about how it was going to have some kind of an Amazon key lock trunk where they would be able to deliver they'd be able to locate your car wherever you were and deliver your item to your trunk.
A version of that already exists.
So people couldn't steal it off your front porch because you hear about that every Christmas.
That's what the lockers are for at the grocery store, Amazon locker.
Uh-huh. Right. When my kid gets anything delivered to him in Berkeley, it's at the school store in a locker. He gets
neat.
You know, the code for whatever locker it is.
You're gonna get robbed,
right?
One last thing. By 2022, the U.S. government estimates that more than 450,000 commercial drones will be in operation.
By 2022?
Mm-hmm.
And what are these, when they say these commercial drones, are they talking about the Amazon delivery system, or is there some other thing we're using drones for that I'm not aware of?
I guess other things.
Well, they're great for photography.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They're fantastic. Like, some of the footage they get of the big wave surfers via drone, because they can get super close or, you know, in there where a person just would die.
Right.
So they get great shots.
They can be right
and
next to you, I'm sure.
Sporting events, right?
Yeah, they use them in football and elsewhere, sure.
They use them
weddings.
For everything, though. We were looking at Ozark, and there was a shot where they're clearly over land.
It goes up.
And you can see the boat going across, and they slowly zoom in or, you know, catch up with the boat, and then they're going along with the boat. It was such, and you could hear their audio, you could hear them talking, but you thought it was just going to be a boat going by in the distance. And then the drone just gets out there and follows along with them, and they continue the scene. It was amazing.
Just going straight up. And it shows the whole, like, it goes out, and now you're seeing the whole It's pretty neat.
It is. And I think that we're just accepting it, but it's, you know, that's the future of filming things.
Survivor's using them too.
Oh my God. They really, they do a great job with it.
But I don't need my laundry detergent delivered to me via drone. I'll go to the store and pick that up myself.
Yeah, I don't mind it being delivered to my front porch either. And I can't say that I'm not interested to see this drone delivery system happen, but I'm with you. You know, the whole gnats in the air and just the sort of the pollution of, you know, if you're just trying to like lay in a field of daisies. I don't know where this field of daisies is or what field I'm laying in, but I just picture like I would like to be able to find a field and lay in it mm-hmm. and look up and not see drones going overhead. Mm-hmm. You know? Maybe an occasional really high airplane with a little contrail. Okay. That's interesting to look at. But yeah, I don't know if we need drones. Anyway, after 25, back to Jeff Bezos and the actual story here. After 25 years of marriage, a lot of money at stake, within this divorce from his wife, Mackenzie, although all indications so far are that this is going to be pretty amicable.
Everyone's going to leave very happy. Well off.
Right. No one's going to be sad. No one's going to be poor. And they say that because it's going smoothly, at least right now, we will probably never know the terms of this divorce because she's not going to have to sue him for half. He's going to provide for her and...
So we're getting a lot of these kind of texts right now.
What are they?
408, having a really hard time with your coverage of the Bezos story. His money, he has to give her, et cetera, et cetera. They've been married. She has been there for him, supporting him, staying up late, listening to his ideas, certainly helping with the businesses over the years. It's their money.
Okay, and that's why it's going to get split down the middle. You know, I guess I'm calling it his money because he's the CEO of, or he's the king of Amazon. Game over, man. Yeah, but you're not wrong. And it's funny, too, because, you know, I hear these divorce stories all the time. And, you know, I think about my own situation. I do consider I earn the money, but it's our money.
Absolutely.
You know, that is how I feel about it. Probably because I like the guy, you know. I guess maybe if
well,
I didn't like
no,
him, I'd
no,
think
no.
of it as being my money.
You and John came up together, so right. very much similar to the Bezos. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sure.
They weren't rich when they began.
But, you know, I don't think any of us were trying to be anti-woman as we discussed the story.
No.
You didn't anyway.
There are, however, situations where I think somebody comes into a marriage with a skill set that is going to continue to earn them money and has earned them money to that point. And then I see more of an argument. Like, I think you made the comment one time, like, how many Guns N' Roses songs did this Perla chick
write?
Right. You know, as they as
how many times did she almost OD on heroin?
Yeah, that's
none.
Part of it.
No, I just think that Jeff Bezos in particular has been the face of Amazon mm-hmm. the whole time. And we're me personally, I never heard of his wife.
Yeah, no.
So when we associate him with Amazon, mm-hmm. that's because he's been the.
So we call it his money. But you are correct,
well,
texters.
What
and
do they
we're
say
sorry.
Behind every good man is a great woman?
Yes, that is what they say. Mm-hmm.
What does Human always say? This is why
game
I'm
over.
Single.
Game over.
Yeah.
This is why I'm single.
That texter is why I'm single.
Yeah.
No, they have a valid point.
So when they announced their divorce, they talked about remaining partners and friends and said, if we'd known we would separate after 25 years, we would do it all again.
Well, you'd like to think that. I mean,
yeah.
that you'd be absolutely whizzing on your history together. That's mm-hmm. so stupid.
News broke last night that Jeff Bezos has been seeing TV personality Lauren Sanchez.
Who is that?
Clearly,
she is a former judge on So You Think You Can Dance. She's a hottie. At 8 o'clock, I have more. I want to get to a
the
couple other stories.
The picture I saw, she's a total surgery victim.
Yeah, oh, she does look like a surgery victim, but she's also like a dancer. And
well, she came up being a reporter in the newsroom.
Yeah, she worked on Extra, too.
Uh-huh.
Extra,
but a news anchor, then the Extra show, a more celebrity-related stuff.
Right. But she must have been a dancer, too, because if she's a judge on So
on
You Think
that,
You Can Dance, you
sure.
think she'd have some expertise
Maybe,
on that.
Yeah.
So anyway, the sources are saying the relationship happened after Jeff and Mackenzie called it quits.
What else?
Mackenzie was aware of it. Oh, by the way, her husband, because she is married, mm-hmm. They are also in the process of getting a divorce.
Oh, geez.
And they're saying that their relationship started afterward. It. But these guys have been close friends. Right. The two couples have been for like 10 years. They vacation together. They hang together.
Scandalous.
They're very close friends.
When's her husband going to hook up with his ex-wife?
I don't know. He's some super agent. I have all the details. Yeah. I'll do all the details on that at 8 o'clock.
Oh, man.
I know. You'll have to wait for it.
She's instantly like the most sought after single woman on the planet.
Mm.
Not because, well, partly because she's now the fifth richest human on the planet. My goodness. What's that like?
Well, so he was the richest man. He was the richest guy.
Right.
So that is his, I mean, that's like counting it as his money. So we're not the first people to do this, Texter.
Right.
Yeah.
We're because she was already the fifth richest because half of that was hers to begin with. Anyway.
No, she was already the richest.
The richest woman.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Because she is right now the richest woman.
Right.
Because that's her money, too.
Yeah, but now.
In case anyone was confused.
She's got no ring on her finger.
No. They have a bunch of kids, right? Couple kids? What do they got?
I actually do not know.
Yeah, they
I thought
do
they had like a
kids.
Set of twins or something.
I saw,
and like an older
I saw
kid.
Three kids. And this the new chick he's seeing has a kid too.
Lauren's hand too.
Well, yeah, she's been married and you know
well, she's still married, everybody.
Well, they're all still married.
Hooman, how can we get you next to Mackenzie?
Oh yeah. Oh, good one.
Right up your alley, buddy.
I think she runs in circles that are just outside of my reach.
Oh,
oh I don't, mean, I didn't know there was such a thing.
I thought all the circles were within your reach.
That's what. I don't know if I'd run into her at a party. If I'd be
well, she lives in Seattle, so
oh, she does. Yeah.
Well, but she's a tech tycoon, and this is the Silicon Valley,
right?
I believe Amazon has a building or two around here.
They might. I bet you they have a warehouse or two.
I am sure there are like 40 guys that she knows that are knocking on that door right now.
Right. Well, they're all outside her window, but, you know, can they sing opera like you can?
No, I sure can.
You got to go to her window and start singing some opera. Mm. You know, classy chick like that, she's bound to like opera or pretend to anyway. Speaking of rich people, Sam Jackson is Hollywood's most bankable star. His 120-plus movies have made $13.3 billion around the world, $5.7 billion in the U.S. alone, which is better than Harrison Ford and Tom Hanks, who are the next two guys on the list. But movies right now, while it's a huge source of his income, they are not his main source of income. It's the Capital One commercials.
You betcha.
He is making eight figures, so at least $10 million. They say that those are the most lucrative thing consistently that he's done in his career.
I wonder, I want to say he's done 30 of them.
But 30? How long has he been the guy? I mean, how many years?
There's so many of them, though. I bet he's done at least 30 of those commercials.
They're saying here he was addicted to crack for 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
he came.
Damn,
he became
not bad for a guy who was a crack addict.
A big star later in life than you'd think.
Yeah, he's older than you think. He's in his 60s, isn't he?
Yeah, if not close to 70, like real close.
Yeah,
like maybe 70.
Well,
70 even.
Oh, 70 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Funny.
And he's worth $220 million.
Oh man, and that'll go up by at least $10 million.
What
this
was
year.
His big breakthrough? Was it one of the Spike Lee movies?
No, it was Coming to America with Eddie Murphy.
Oh,
and
what did he play doing that?
So there's a moment where they walk into McDonald's or Burger King, and then Sam Jackson walks in there with like a shotgun and goes, "Everyone to the floor!
Okay.
I'm gonna hold up!" And then like Eddie Murphy, because he's you know like this
prince.
African prince,
mm-hmm.
and like he's got all these kung fu skills.
Oh my God.
It says here in the 90s.
Kung Fu Fight!
He overdosed on heroin several times. He gave up heroin in favor of cocaine.
What year?
In the 90s.
Oh boy, in the 90s. You know, it's funny because I really think the first time I ever really noticed Sam Jackson was Pulp Fiction.
Mm.
Well, for sure.
From there on out. And then he's been in, I think he's in every Tarantino movie, isn't he?
Yes.
Almost.
Which one isn't he in? I can't think of one.
I know him from Do the Right
Kill Bill?
Thing. which is
that was 89. Do the Right Thing.
Yeah,
it looks like the first time Sam Jackson was in a Capital One ad was in 2013.
Oh,
he is in Kill Bill. He's in the marriage scene, the black and white church marriage where she gets shot up. He's like the organist or something.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, he's in that, I think. I don't know. Anyway, congratulations, Sam Jackson.
Yeah,
you're rich.
Good for him.
And that's all I have time for. Vinny, what is coming
while
up
while we
the
just
news?
Decide to read his IMDb?
Yes. Damn, Sam.
Damn, Sam.
I don't know what's coming up. Right. See you in a minute.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Right now, we'll take call number 9 at 800-400-3697 and give you a pair of tickets for Four Kids, One Dumb Night. Dave Foley, Kevin McDonald, Mark McKinney, and Scott Thompson in conversation with author Paul Myers. So it's Kids in the Hall and then One Dumb Guy. Plus a screening of Brain Candy, and this is tomorrow night at the Castro Theater. So this is part of SF Sketchfest, which is huge. It kicks off today. Go to sfsketchfest.com, and you can see the more than 250 events that are happening over the next 2.5 or so weeks. But right now, if you're calling number 9, we'll give you a pair of tickets for Four Kids, One Dumb Night.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by RadioAlice.com. That's this station's website. People work hard on that thing.
Good. They're good at it.
Click away. Thank you. Here's what's happening. We'll begin with the weather. Today, looks like we have a break in the rain, but there's more coming. Another storm is expected to hit on Friday. Little break on Saturday. If you want to look along the bottom of this weather app I use, you'll see rain all through next week. Can you see that?
I can.
So it does look like the weather window has opened and we are in for some rain. Oh. Much needed.
Yeah. Depressing, but much
needed.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, you know, start getting that California thing like, well, we need it. But, you know, come on. How much can we take?
Right. Where's the damn sun? Come on, man.
I need my vitamin D.
Yeah. You should probably take vitamin D in the winter, right?
No.
Why not?
Well, I take a multi. You take a multi?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm sure it has D in it. I drink a lot of milk, though.
Oh, good. Yeah. You do? Like, you'll drink a glass of milk? Still?
Yeah. I mean, I've known not that like you I always was did. When I was a kid, you know, you'd have 4 or 5 huge glasses of milk a day.
Yeah.
But I have cereal, and I put milk in my coffee, and I will drink a glass of milk occasionally.
All right. Word is... Kamala Harris is about to announce she'll be running for president in 2020. They expect the announcement to come on the MLK holiday. This is all speculation at this point. But
I like her.
Much of what she's doing is showing signs of setting up the business of running for president.
Ah.
They're saying she's lining up East Coast headquarters and... She's currently finishing a book tour, which is an excellent way to get out and see the people and present yourself. So there you go.
Well, good luck to her. That's certainly a long row to hoe. And I like her. You know, I've often thought, and even just in the last year or so, like she's really made a mark. Like I see her on TV often where sometimes, you know, reps get like buried. She's not a senator, right?
She's a senator.
Oh, she is a senator. So it's her and Dianne Feinstein are the senators?
Yeah.
As far as
is
I know,
she
yeah.
Like I don't know. They were calling her a junior senator.
Well, I think this is her first term.
Time,
like for
yeah.
her to be running for president, it feels really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she's definitely, you see her. She's trying to make a name. And is.
I like it.
Yeah.
I sort of hope she does the announcement in Oakland, where she's from, instead of East
LA.
Coast. Yeah. I guess she finishes up the tour Sunday in LA.
Oh.
I don't know. I just kind of hope it's Oakland.
All right. Well, this is interesting news. I saw this morning. The San Francisco Giants have struck a new deal. So the park, yes, known for many years as AT&T Park, will now be known as Oracle Park.
Oh, that's going to be confusing.
Interesting reaction out of you, because I feel like a few texters wrote saying, you know, hey, what about the renaming of the park? How do you feel about this? And I, to be honest, there was a time when I would have been extremely disappointed, because I do feel like we live our lives in these parks.
Uh-huh. Well,
we spend
this one's
our
already
money
changed
in
its
these
name.
Parks. I know, and that's I've grown up and watched sports or athletics, the business of it, you just sort of realize it's a business, man. Mm-hmm. It's a business, and they made I think the signing deal was $300. Let me see if I can find the exact amount. I think it's $300 million for 20 years.
Wow. So when it first started, it was Pac Bell Park, right?
Pac Bell, right. SBC, AT&T.
I didn't remember the SBC.
Yeah, I didn't either, actually. They'd said this was going to be the third name change, and I was like, really? I thought it only went from Pac Bell to AT&T. But,
right.
Yeah, it went to SBC Park in 2003.
And it opened,
and then AT&T.
It opened in 99 or 2000, and right. We were around for that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I still have the commemorative baseball.
Oh, you do?
From that big opening.
Oh.
That's probably worth some money.
Probably not, but I do think it's neat. It was a neat thing that we were around for. If you remember, that park was a big deal. The Giants were threatening to leave. They were going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying, we can't play in Candlestick, and we need a stadium, and we need you to, you know, help us pay for that or whatever the negotiation was about.
Yeah, that was a whole thing. And that, remember at first, was it the Bartlows? They were going to, like, take Candlestick and make it this incredible mall.
Well, yeah, that, for the 49ers,
Rondo,
yes.
Right.
They were going to redo that whole area,
right.
And it didn't go through.
No.
So here, let me just run down the history of this. So it was AT&T Park originally. They spent $50 million for 24 years. Then
AT&T, not originally. It was Pac Bell originally.
Yeah, Pac Bell, sorry, originally. And then for $50 million, and then SBC bought Pac Bell. And then
That's why it switched.
I
because
see.
Pac Bell went away, not right. a new deal.
No.
Yeah. Just Pac Bell went poof.
And I only know that because my phone bill would change as the ballpark changed. My phone bill would change.
How funny.
And then SBC ended up buying AT&T. And then they, you know, AT&T was a more recognized brand. So SBC went away and they took over the name AT&T. Got it?
Yes.
Huh. All right.
So now their deal is coming to an end, and Oracle has just bought on for 20 years.
Well, and Oracle had great success across the bay with the Warriors. They had great success with it. So, and they've been
involved.
So that's
not going to be called Oracle Arena anymore over there.
It's not going to be used anymore, is it?
I don't know. Are they going to just tear it down?
I think they'll do concerts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And who knows what kind of, you know, deal will end up in place for the A's and what will become of all of that. That's a lot of space over there.
The article says SF Giants home now called Oracle Park after AT&T split. Mm-hmm. Got it?
Yeah. Thank you.
So anyway, I believe it was $300 million for 20 years. But either way, I know some people, traditionalists, will feel like, I can't call it that. Well, the tradition of sports is for the most part gone. It's very big business.
Yep.
And, you know, we're talking hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars are being exchanged. It's just, your passion is not on their mind.
Yeah. Their
Hopefully
business is above your pay grade.
The signs are going to be pretty because, you know, as I drive up into
they're
the
already
city
taking
here,
them down, too, by the way.
Oh, my
God. Are they really?
Yeah.
There's going to be some temporary signs while they design the other signs. But those signs, I always like driving in as we're coming to work, and I always look up going,
well, it is
a really
such
pretty sign.
A beautiful park.
It is.
Yeah, that's what it'll look like. Yep. I pass the park every day, too.
Yeah.
And I also take it in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'll look good. I mean, if they stick with the same font and everything. And
I'm wearing my Giants lid now, aren't I?
Yeah, you are.
I mean, that's someplace I go by the park to get a new lid all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not all the time, but you know. whatever.
When your head rots the last one.
It's whatever.
Rots.
Yeah, you know how hats are.
They get funky.
They do. I suppose you can throw them in the washing machine.
I think the most of the damage to a hat happens when you take it off and throw it down on the floorboard of the car, and then your next passenger gets in and their feet end up on it, and then that gets thrown to the, you know, that's where the real trouble happens.
It's not when it's on your head, it's off your head.
Right, exactly. An Arizona woman was arrested in April. Here's the story.
All right.
She met a guy online.
Okay. That's what people do these days.
With great hopes of love.
Yeah. All right.
The site, Jacqueline Ades, I'll call her.
All right.
A-D-E-S. Can't be AIDS, can it?
Could be AIDS.
Yeah, let's just call her Jacqueline Ades.
Jacqueline Ades, a self-employed esthetician.
Oh. Well done.
Was it?
Sure. Esthetician.
He got it out.
You got it.
Sent a guy 159,000 text messages over a period of 10 months after the two went on a single date.
Oh, boy.
She is, I should say, as the story gets started here, displaying signs of mental illness. So, this is clearly one of those realities for online dating where
somebody
most
gets fixated.
Things go fine.
Yes.
And once in a while, things don't.
You stumble off on crazy.
AIDS met her victim, the CEO of an Arizona-based skincare company, via Luxy, a dating website specifically catering to wealthy individuals.
Oh.
Luxy.
How do you spell Luxy?
L-U-X-Y. Okay.
Luxy.
Luxy.
The service boasts that one out of every two of its active members earns over $500,000 a year. And 41% of income verified members allegedly top $1 million in annual income.
Luxy.
It says, Vinny, the number one millionaire online match and elite dating app for singles.
Who, man?
That's
for you, buddy.
Yeah.
An app for millionaires?
Yeah.
Yeah, where millionaires connect.
Yeah, you only date millionaires.
What's it called?
Luxy. L-U-X-Y.
The pair matched on the app in 2017 and corresponded for a few days before going on a date. AIDS allegedly began the texting barrages right after he said, nah, I don't want to date again. No, thank you.
Oh,
So they went on one date.
And he just was like, no.
Right.
We're not a good fit.
Right.
And he was direct with her.
Yes.
Said no more dating.
Right.
And she could not take no for an answer.
The victim called the police when he found AIDS parked outside his home. She was escorted off the property, but they didn't arrest her or charge her with any crimes because this is one of those things.
She hasn't done anything.
She can just sit there.
Yeah. Mm.
She's allowed to sit there. Shortly after the incident, though, the text became she went Hannibal Lecter on the guy via text. AIDS text messages to the man became more threatening and graphic. Oh, what I would do with your blood. I want to bathe in it is one message. Yeah, full Hannibal Lecter. Mm. Very scary.
She's pretty.
Is she?
Yeah.
Wait, describe her.
Well, she's, I guess, a white chick, very dark hair, nice features, and then she's all made up in one of the
on the right, pictures. Yeah, it looks like a different person.
Probably her profile pic.
Yeah.
All right.
20 years younger. And.
But she has an attractive face. She doesn't look crazy from the outside, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay.
Turns out she's crazy if you cut her open.
925 says, check out AIDS YouTube video from jail. That girl, cray cray.
Cray cray.
I'd make sushi out of your kidneys and chopsticks out of your hand bones is another text she wrote this man.
Oh my God.
She was arrested for trespassing inside the man's home while he was out of the country.
Oh my God.
The victim called police when surveillance footage from the home security system showed her breaking into his home and taking a bath.
Oh my God.
Responding officers found a large butcher knife on the passenger seat of her car, and they say she's most definitely displaying signs of mental illness. Her trial is set for this February.
So she just dates this guy one time and just utterly fixates.
It's so scary.
It is scary. Look, stalking in general is scary. You never know when you're going to run into someone who's going to fixate on you. And it's scary. That's the word for it.
I've never thought in my life about taking a trip because it would look good on Instagram. I've never really thought like, oh, I see some of these fantastical things people are up to on Instagram. I should do that too.
Right.
Like, it'd be great to have pictures of myself.
I'm actually glad to hear that you're not motivated by what you see other people do on Instagram.
Right.
I actually think that that is a thing, though. People, this whole, like, is it FOMO or, you know, they feel like everyone's life is better than theirs, so they do things specifically to post about them.
Right. Yes.
In fact, what was that color museum?
It's color still here.
The Color Factory.
Isn't it still here?
One of their taglines is like, this is the place to come and put up in. Like,
yeah.
So many Instagrammable moments. I'm thinking to myself, do people really?
They do, though.
They do. Yeah. I know. They
and
live their life
remember,
looking for the perfect backdrop.
One of the stories I've told over the years is that lady who went in deep into debt because she was trying to fund her make herself become
an influencer
and had to spend all this money in order to go on trips and buy clothes that she couldn't afford, hoping that would shift,
flip-flop, right, that she would wind up getting paid,
in herself would work out, and then it didn't. Anyway, the three most Instagram worthy road trips in the world,
here we go,
are in the United States.
Oh, all right.
Route 66, the Grand Canyon, and PCH.
Well, the PCH is stunningly beautiful every inch.
I don't have the whole top 10, but some of the others include places in Australia, New Zealand, and the UK. I have a friend in New Zealand right now, and he didn't go to Instagram, but he is Instagramming. It's beautiful. Yeah. Looks great.
Is he surfing?
Mm-hmm. He is.
I would love to go to New Zealand.
He's hoping to. You never know.
Right.
With the ocean.
So it's summer there right now.
It is.
Oh.
So this is the time to go.
Right. Oh, geez. Our text number is 800-400-3697. Here's a couple.
Okay. I'm ready.
916 says, 16-year-old outside with a BB gun, Sarah. Please. That would take away time from sitting in their room playing Fortnite.
Well, if they're in trouble and they don't get to use the internet,
you're thinking of the olden days, teenagers, Sarah.
I am thinking of that. You're right. There are no kids outside anymore, so I'm sure the drones will be perfectly safe.
I didn't ask for a BB gun.
I'm going to order a BB gun, have it delivered by drone, and then shoot the drone as it goes away.
I went through a BB gun phase.
Everybody
Absolutely.
Does. Yep.
That's how I ended up cutting my wrist wide open.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you do that with a BB gun?
We had a park they built near my house called Harvard Park. It was this where baseball was played, and there was a little concession stand there. Uh-huh. And just off to the side was this, it was all farmland where I grew up.
Yeah.
All farms. Orange groves at first and tomatoes and stuff. Underneath this tractor bridge, we set up all these bottles to shoot with the BB gun. And we had put like a kind of almost forted it off, like you put walls down the sides of the bridge where there's a slope so that we could go up there and smoke cloves or whatever.
Yeah, sure. Be kids.
Anyway, we shot up all these bottles, and then I don't know what got into our heads about just destroying this fort that we'd built, but I went crashing through one of the walls into all the broken glass. Because that's what you do when you're 10 or whatever I was, nice, without thinking. And it came up, and I had...
Sliced your wrist open.
Wide open.
You're lucky. Wow.
Like 15
bleed out,
stitches.
Dude.
I am. I'm lucky I didn't lose the use of my hand.
Right. Cut all those tendons. Or
exactly
right.
We had to walk back over to Harvard Park where there were grown-ups. Mm-hmm. We had to find a grown-up and go, we really need help getting home. Like, we don't have any way to do
or
that.
Or to the hospital. One of those.
So then what happened? They drive you home to
your
mom?
I'm super brave. I haven't shed one tear yet.
Phil, you saw your mom.
Well, that's what happens.
It does happen.
My mom
way.
Came out, saw it. She totally goes ghost white, lets out a scream, because it was meat.
Well, and I'm sure like it was, there was blood like, all over you.
There, it was meat like that looking into your. But then I start crying, and then I'm like, make my friends go home. This is awful. You made me cry, Mom.
And did your dad say anything?
He wasn't
about
around
that?
At the time, but day. Yeah, right. He was at work. No, I don't remember anything other than, you know, well, you're lucky you didn't do more damage to yourself.
Right. So he didn't beat you?
No, not for
you
that
get a
one.
Beating on top of your wrist
exactly,
injury?
No,
yeah.
I think I'd learned my lesson. Right. Without his help that time.
You were already suffering.
Right. 510 says, so if Sarah and John divorce, John gets nothing, right? It's Sarah's money.
No, I just said that.
We said that. I don't know what people are
hearing. I don't either. I just said that I consider it our money.
Outraged and angered, they just stop listening.
Yeah. Well, they hear, I said his money.
I sense that every day.
And that was it. We were pooping on the wife because it's their money. And it is their money. Just like... my money is John's money.
415 says, get woke, Vinny. It's their money earned during their marriage together. It's not his money.
Get woke, Vin.
All right.
Can you please just wake up? Somebody clunk that guy.
Honestly, and then there was one more. Oh, my God. 510. OMG. People are so bleeping sensitive. Get over it.
Yeah, everybody get over
it. It's both sides.
Listen, we're just having
get
fun.
Get over it.
Get woke.
Yeah.
Stay woke.
That's my song.
I know that's your song.
Stay woke is your song?
Well, it's the
he
one.
He plays it
with, for the Where's Rachel?
Oh, that's not, that's called Stay Woke?
No, but that's,
oh, no,
that's
no,
the
no.
Big
it's called
song.
Redbone, but that, yeah. Isn't that what he says? So stay woke! Is that what he's saying?
That's what he's
that's
saying?
Like, yeah. The same old.
No, he's not.
He is saying stay woke.
Get out of here.
100%.
100.
Well, hold on. We're going to look it up.
Look 100. That up.
Look that up. I'll wait for so it. Hotline's ringing.
People have already stopped listening.
Now stay woke.
Oh, now stay woke. Stay woke. Yeah.
All right. All right, Greg. We'll be back in a second.
Sarah and Vinny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.